Go ahead. Can we go ahead and go with the title slide, or we have it? Okay. Being as this is Thanksgiving, we've been having a few problems and what we used to call back home hitches in our get along. But you see, there will be a day that Jesus is going to assemble everyone before him. There's going to be the sheep on one side and the goats on the others. To the sheep, he will say, enter into that which was prepared for you by our Father. To the goats, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. There's only two sides. There's a heaven, there's a hell, there's a kingdom of God, and there's all the other kingdoms. So we're talking about, as members of Christ's kingdoms, as members of the family of God, what does it mean? What does it look like? How are we to be different than the world? We've talked about how we are to be different because we are children of God, how we are to be different because we yield and surrender to him. Today, because it's Thanksgiving and we should have a thankful spirit, we're going to talk about our attitude, about having an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving to God. You see, I don't think God likes a lot of complaining, because the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, comes down from God. And when we complain, we're saying, God, I really don't like what you've given me. And I've got a brief video clip about complaining. I don't know what you'll think about the ending of it, but as kind of an attention getting and focus, we'll see how it goes, okay?
Sir? I don't want to come across as a complainer.
No, it's fine. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, my office is way too small.
Okay.
And my parking space stinks. The elevator is too slow. I need a new computer and a better work chair. The fax machine never dials right. And the copier, is out of toner at least once a week.
But
I don't understand why I get stuck with all the busy work. I mean, other people should be busy too. I mean, look at Johnson. I'm pulling my hair out, I'm so busy. But Johnson's just rolling around the hallways, picking up trash and cleaning up little messes.
But Johnson's the janitor.
And Christy. Christy's always bragging about all the cool places she's going to. Oh, I'm going to London, I'm going to Spain. I should get to go to cool places too.
She's our international salesman.
And Schwartz. I don't like the way he's always looking better than me. He's always dressing better than me, having more sales, winning more awards. Oh, look at me. I'm salesman of the year. I'm Schwartz. Blah, 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 blah.
Is that all, Devlin?
No. The office is way too cold in the mornings and really warm at night. Not comfortable!
Okay.
I didn't see that coming, but I liked it. If you and I have trouble with hearing all these complaints, how much more must God be offended when it seems like everything that we do is finding a reason to complain or to find fault or to criticize? You see, in his kingdom, we display gratitude, not ingratitude. We should be a people that others enjoy being around, because we're always looking for what is good, and we're grateful to God, and we're thankful for what he's doing in our life. You see, you serve a great God. And if you're thinking, well, maybe God has not blessed me, maybe he just hasn't blessed you yet, or maybe you're just overlooking your blessing. But I want to challenge you today. If the world's got you down, if you feel like you've been beat down by circumstances or beat down by people, I want you to stop and look up. And I want you to say, God, thank you. I want you to look around you and see the wonderful things and the people he's put in your path and say, thank you. What we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is a series based on the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to recite together the Lord's Prayer. Would you stand with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our focus today is on that simple line. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to share today what we call kind of a textual sermon. I'm going to take this brief text, and we're going to take and kind of look at some of the words in it. Because I'm telling you, if you'll understand when you pray, God, give me my bread today, you'll understand what it means to have joy and why you need to have joy. But before we get to helping you better understand that, I want to take the last two words of it, daily bread. And I want to make this very simple first point. We must focus on our needs and not our wants. We have a tendency to be very greedy. We have a tendency to just want everything. And you know what? Manufacturers know it. Retail stores know it. And they're going to do everything they can to try to coerce you and me over the next 4-5 weeks to indulge ourselves and buy. Pick up your local newspaper. There's many more sales items than there are news. We have a tendency, our eyes get real big. We say, well, I want this, or boy, I want that, or we even start saying, I need this, or maybe even I need that. God doesn't promise us any of that. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8:28 puts it this way. He says, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Did you hear that word? Needs. When we pray for daily bread, we're saying, God, make certain I have food to eat today. We're not praying, God, make certain I have a nice restaurant to eat at today. Or I've got a nice thick steak I can cook up for myself today. But God, help me meet some of my basic needs today. But we don't pray that way. You know why? Because although we live in God's kingdom, we keep looking over at the other kingdom thinking, wow, they've got a lot. Wish I had some of it. And if we're not careful, we begin to want to hold hands with Christ and hold hands to the world at the same time. And you know what? You can't do it. Oftentimes, even as adults, rather than act like an adult, we begin to act like children. Let me share something with you I came across the other day. It's called the Toddler's Creed. I like this. If I want it, it's mine. If I gave it to you and changed my mind, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it can never belong to anyone else. If you're building something together, all the pieces are mine. If it just looks like mine, it's mine. And when we see it in a toddler, you know what? We'll kind of smile about it. When we see the toddler in the grocery store pitch a little temper tantrum, we think, how sad, and we may kind of nudge somebody and say, look, but ain't it cute? But when we see it as adults, it's frightening. Because as adults, you can begin to go after some of that stuff. And you can walk over people to get it. You can put yourself so far in debt that you jeopardize your family to get that which is mine. We become discontent We want more. We don't pray, God, give me transportation. God, I need that new transportation. God, I don't need a house. I need that new nice house. We're just a toddler that's grown up a little bit. I want it. It's mine. I read the other day of a girl who lost a tooth. Her name was Rachel. She slipped that tooth under her pillow at night, and the next day, she had $2. She got so excited. A couple months after that, she lost another tooth. Slipped it under her pillow. Sure enough, the next day, $2. She was so excited too. Crisp, fresh $1 bills every day. But she went to spend the night with a friend. The friend had lost a tooth, and her friend put it under her pillow that night. The next day, her friend had $10 under the pillow. So Rachel got to think about it, and the next day she says, Miss Walker, if you wouldn't mind calling my mom and give her the name of the tooth fairy that you use, I think she needs to change. You see, we're often content until we see what somebody else has. And you need to understand, in God's kingdom, God doesn't want whiners who are always sitting, give me, give me, give me, I need more and more and more. When you kneel to pray, you're not praying to Santa Claus who's saying, give me your shopping list. All he promises is, I'm going to take care of you. Jesus phrased it this way. He said, look at the birds. They don't sow or reap, but your Father takes care of them. Look at the bird, look at the flowers and how beautiful they are. God clothes them. So God will take care of you. You see, in his kingdom, we depend on him. In his kingdom, we let him guide us and direct us. I've got another scripture verse for you here. This is Proverbs 14:30. A heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy is lust. Envy is desiring something you don't have. Envy is seeing something on the television thinking, I gotta have it. Envy is seeing something that a friend has thinking, I need that. Look what it says. It rots the bones. You see, a heart at peace means a heart that is content. I don't have to have all these things. But it says it rots the bones. Now, I wondered about this for a moment, and then it dawned on me. Have you ever been around people that are never happy? They're just, no matter what you do for them, they're complaining. If they got the job that they wanted, they'd complain about it. If you took them out to eat at the nicest restaurant around, they'd find fault. And you know what? Most of us don't want to be with those people, and it dawned on me why. Envy rots the bones, and there's a stench to that rot. And we don't like that smell. So we just soon not be around it. So understand this. God promises to meet our needs. He promises to be there for us and to sustain us. But now let me help you understand a little bit better how we can learn to be content. All right, point two. We need to recognize God's ownership. When you pray and you pray that, God, give me my day, give me today my daily bread, you're saying give. You know why you're saying give? Because you don't own anything. God owns everything. God is sovereign. You brought nothing into this world when you were born. You will take nothing out when you die because you own nothing. And so whenever you come before God, you're saying give because he has to make it as a gift to us. Everything that we have James says every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It is a gift from God. And when we understand that it is a gift, we are in hopes that our attitude will be reflective of it. Colossians 2, 16 through 17. Christ is the one whom God created everything in heaven and earth. Everything has been created through him and for him. He exists before everything else, and he holds all creation together. Do you understand? He made it. Therefore, it is his. When I was a boy, my father would fish a lot. And usually at the start of every fishing season, he would come home with some new fishing outfits, rods and reels. And it was always the same, by the way, Zebco 33s. I think if there's fishing in heaven, they'll be using Zebco 33s. It's all I use, all my dad used. Well, when my dad would come home, me and my brothers would go out and claim one. Well, this blue one's mine. No, the green one's mine. No, the red one's mine. We'd claim them. And whenever we would go fishing, we would use it. I remember one year, we went to go fishing. And you know what he'd done with my rod and reel? He'd given it to somebody. I thought, well, that stuff was mine. He said, no, it wasn't. You see, when you have something in your possession long enough, you begin to think it's yours. But it's not. Those of you who are involved in our life groups, if you've seen the fourth session where Andy Stanley talks about this thing of ownership, he talks about his room. Remember? He says, when I was a teenager coming up, I had my room. He said, I even had a sign on my door that said, my room. And my parents would say sometimes, go up and clean your room. And I would ask him, why have you been in my room? He said, I was convinced it was my room. He said, but in actuality, it was not my room. I did not own that house. I did not own that room. It was my parents' room. They were letting me use it. Now, Andy talks about understanding this thing of stewardship, of the sovereignty of God and the ownership of God, and that if you will look at everything you possess as something God has put in your hands to take care of, you'll tend to see life a little bit differently. You'll begin to have more because of it, because you recognize it's not yours. It's God's. But we have this tendency, again, we become very selfish. We become very focused on our needs. Let me read something for you. And you'll understand why when I get to it. I was watching a ball game last night. My wife kept interrupting me. Guys, does that ever happen to you? Watching a ball game and your wife keeps saying, let me read something to you. I finally said, okay, and turned down the volume. This is what she read to me. I hope that you like this. It's a student in school. He says, our teacher asked what my favorite animal was, and I said, fried chicken. She said, that wasn't funny, and she could because everybody else laughed too. My parents always told me to tell the truth, so I did. Fried chicken's my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened. He said my teacher was probably a member of PETA or some organization like that, and she loved animals. I told him I love animals too, especially chicken, pork, and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened, and he just laughed, and he told me not to do it again. He said, the next day, my teacher rephrased the question, and she asked, what is your favorite live animal? He said, chicken. She said, why? Because you can make it into fried chicken. She said, that wasn't funny. But she sent me back to the principal's office, and he laughed and told me not to do it again. I don't understand, I told him. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked me, who was my favorite person in all history? He said, that's easy, Colonel Sanders. And then he says, guess where I sit right now? I don't know if you know this about Colonel Sanders or not, but I just thought Colonel Sanders began his famous fried chicken franchise at the age of almost 70. He was dirt broke, had nothing but a great recipe. He tried to sell his recipe out of his car because he had no business or office. He was a devout Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, and he made a commitment to God, and this was his commitment. He said, God, I want to honor you with this business. And if you will honor me with a business, I will give you back 50% of every dollar you bless me with. And to his death, he gave not 10, 20, not 40. He gave 50% back to the work of God through his local church and local colleges to further the work of Christ. Because he understood something that we need to understand. Nothing is ours. He understood God. He did not invent the chicken. It was God's creation. He just learned how to cook it real well. And understand this. I don't know what kind of job you have, but if you stop and think for a moment, you'll see without God, it wouldn't work. Nothing does. Everything that we own comes from the elements of the earth that God created. If you're a carpenter, where do you think that lumber came from? Do you think it just happened there one day? God made it. So understand this. God's in control. God's in charge. God owns everything. And if you'll understand that, you'll become so much more content with what you have, that God has blessed me with this and God has given me this. Number three, we need to see this thing as personal. One of the things I often do as I pray the Lord's Prayer is I pray it very personal. Have you ever done that? You change it up a little bit. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give me today my daily bread. Help me to forgive my enemies. And you make it very personal. When we say us, how are we going to do this? Is this personal with us? Because I'm telling you, God gives it to us very personal. When Christmas time rolls along and you decide those people that you want to give gifts to, it's generally the people that you care about and the people that you love. And you try to be thoughtful for the gift because it makes a difference. Well, I believe God gives us what he wants us to have. Not only that, I believe he gives us what we need to have. There's three ways that we can respond to a gift. The first way, I think I've got these, don't I, Joe? Okay. Three ways that we can respond to a gift from God. The first one is to ignore. Can you get there? Ignore. All right, there we go. Now, I want you to think about this. When you open a door for somebody, what do they usually say back to you? Thank you. If somebody drops something and you pick it up and hand it to them, what do they usually say back to you? If someone's thirsty, you give them something to drink, what do they say back to you? Thank you. What do you think when you do something for someone and they just look at you and walk on? We're like, we expect when we do something for someone, for them to be gracious and acknowledge it, don't we? When you give them someone a compliment, you expect them to say, thank you. So what does it say to God with all of his bounty of gifts to us if we just go, eh, and walk on? How sad. Try this. Instead of waking up every day and jumping out of bed and starting through all of your routines, put your feet on the floor, bow your head and say, God, thank you for this day. Think of a few things you can thank him. God, thank you for my spouse that's here laying in bed next to me. Thank you for the job I have. Thank you that I'm going to stop by and get me a burrito and I can afford to buy it. God, thank you. Because we have a tendency to ignore. The other thing that we can do, second thing, is complain. Saw a young boy one time at Christmas going through his Christmas gifts like a whirlwind. You know what I mean. They open the boxes and they're throwing it everywhere and they're, whoo, and they're going to the next one. When he got through opening all the gifts, the response was, is this everything? Is this everything? Or I heard a child one day said, I already got one of these. A complaining spirit says, Father, I don't like what you're giving to me. Father, I want more than this. An elderly farmer passed away. He had Harry, let's see if I can say this right. He had a revocable living trust. Does that sound right? Okay, it's kind of like a fancy will, is what it is. He had revocable living trust, and he left his farm to his son. And after everything was over, the boy's sisters decided they wanted to contest the will. Because they thought they should have got some of the farm. No, they got some cash and other things, but the farm is where they thought the money was. And the attorney says, well, why do you think your father left the farm to your brother? Well, because our brother took care of him for the last years of his life. He took care of him, and he stayed with him, and he took him to the doctor and said, well, did either of you ever come by and take care of him? Well, no. Did you take him to the doctor? Well, no. Well, why do you think you should have part of the farm? Well, because we're his children and we think we're entitled to it. He said, you certainly have the right to contest it. But he said, there is a clause in the trust that says if this will is contested, anything that is left in the will to you reverts to your brother. He said, do you wish to contest it? And they said, no, we'll just keep what we've got. Regardless of what gifts God gives us, we want more. We're not content. I believe one of the reasons that these restaurants that have buffets are so popular is because you go in there and your eyes get about this big. Mine do, don't yours? That's why I don't like to go to them. And you begin to look at all the options at this buffet. And if you're like I am, you're kind of cheap to start off and you think, well, I paid for it. I'm going to eat it. So you go through and you begin to sample all the meats and all the vegetables and you want to have all the desserts. See, that's our problem. We want all. And we've never been content. We want to complain when it's not what we want. The third thing is we display gratitude. to display gratitude. And oh, how slow that we are sometimes too. This is a, does everybody here know who Dear Abby is? You know who Dear Abby? For those of you that don't know, Dear Abby is an advice, she run an advice column. You would send in questions and she would give you advice and counsel. This is something that she, on the subject she had a number of years back. This is from a girl who's 15. Anybody got teenagers here? Anybody got teenagers here? Did you know teenagers tend to want a lot? Did you know that? And it's sad because oftentimes they're not appreciated. Anyway, Dear Abby, happiness is knowing that your parents won't almost kill you if you come home a little late. Happiness would be having my own bedroom. Happiness is having parents that trust you even if you don't tell them where you're going. Happiness is getting the phone call you've been praying for. Happiness would be getting good grades. Happiness is knowing that you have nice clothes and that you look good. Happiness is knowing that you're popular. And then she says, happiness is something I don't have. 15, and I'm unhappy. Now this, in response to this, a girl wrote back, she's 13. She says, Dear Abby, happiness is being able to walk. Happiness is being able to talk. Happiness is being able to see. Happiness is being able to hear. Happiness, or then she says, unhappiness is reading from this 17-year-old who has all these things, but she still says she's unhappy. You see, I can talk, I can see, and I can hear, but I've never been able to walk. Signed, 13 and very happy. Happiness is not about what you have. Happiness is about what you choose to focus on in your life. Does somebody have a bigger house? Oh, yeah. Somebody drive a nicer car? Yeah. Somebody eat a little higher on the hog? Probably. But I guarantee it, you're better off than probably 70, 80% of the world. And you have so much to be grateful for. But our tendency, again, is to complain. It's to find fault. And what it tells me is that what we are looking for is what's wrong. Instead of looking at the grace of God, we're looking where perhaps God hasn't blessed us yet, or God's blessed us in another way. Now, I noticed back here today's Jonathan Weaver. He just popped his head up. I think I woke him up. I've known Jonathan since he was a toddler in our daycare over on Bruton. He's grown up to be a handsome young man. One of the things I used to tell Jonathan, I would say, Jonathan, this is, he began to pass me in height. I'd say, Jonathan, before we were born, our angel would ask us if we wanted to be tall or handsome. And I would turn to him and look up and say, I'm just so happy I chose handsome. And he would just look down at me and shake his head. You see, God may not have given you one gift, but maybe he's given you. Unless you stop and really think about it and examine it, you'll never know it. Number four, we need to maintain an attitude of gratitude. Give me this day my daily bread. Now, we're not talking about just having the attitude on Thanksgiving, but we're talking about really having an attitude that almost becomes infectious with people around us. that, God, I am going to be joyful for the gifts that you've given. I'm going to be joyful for what I have. And I'm going to choose to allow this to be what permeates me and the scent that I give off. You see, we talked earlier about how envy is a rot to the bones. And there's actually a stench that begins to form around it. And you'll find that when you begin to complain about what you don't have, unless people are having the same pity party that you are, they'll generally walk away because they don't be around that stench. Well, did you know when you have a smile of contentment? Did you know when life is good, people are drawn to that? Did you know that you can go and visit the children's hospitals and most of the children, sick as they are, will still wear a smile? You can wear a smile regardless of where you are. You can wear a smile regardless of how deep that you hurt. You can have an attitude, God, thank you for the gift you've given me. It may not be as big as his, but God, I thank you that it's mine. We need to have an attitude that says to God, I'm appreciative of you, and I'm appreciative of what you give me. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Look at that passage, and you need to see something. It says, in everything give thanks. It does not say, for everything give thanks. You say, you cannot give thanks for losing a loved one. You cannot give thanks when your health is critical. But in that circumstance, you can give thanks. I may not have a fancy meal to eat, but God, I thank you that I have food to eat. God, I may not have the nicest new car that parks itself, but God, I thank you that it started and it took me to work today. God, I thank you that I have a home where I can be cool in the summer and warm in the winter. I thank you. Let me share something else I came across. Wasn't sure I was going to take it and share it, but I think it fits. This is the prayer of a young man. He says, Dear Father, I was just studying the scripture about the rich young ruler who chose not to follow Christ. But it has me thinking, he was the rich young ruler. But he could not ride in a car or fly in a plane. He could never have surgery or turn on a flashlight or buy penicillin, look things up on the internet, listen to music, watch TV, wash his dishes in running water, type, mow a lawn. He could not sleep on a foamed inner spring mattress, but he was rich. If he was rich, what am I? You see, everything is perspective. Everything is perspective. We sent 184 shoeboxes. Now, some of you packed the shoeboxes. If I'm wrong, tell me. I'll bet you give your children more than you put in those shoeboxes. I bet if that's all you gave your children for Christmas, they wouldn't be very happy. Because our children have learned to expect more. But to that child that opens that shoebox that has never known Christmas, those little things you picked up at the dollar store, those things that seem so efficient, those things that our children just brush aside will put a smile on their face and a twinkle in their eye. See, it's not what we have. It's what we think about. It's what we focus on. Second scripture here, this is from Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you have been called into one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's only going to happen when you become content. See, when you kneel to pray, your prayer shouldn't be, God, give me, give me, give me. It should be, first of all, God, thank you. And God, I have a friend that needs something from you. There's a young man that goes to our church. He needs a job, Lord. There's a woman that goes to our church. She needs a better job. Lord, could you bless her? See, it's not about me. It's not about me. And if you want to be happy, if you truly want to be happy in life, you've got to learn this real simple concept. It's not about you either. It's not about you. It's about him, and it's about others. Remember the old Western that some of us in my age group would remember with Roy Rogers? How many of you know who Roy Rogers is? A number of you do. Do you remember who his wife was? Dale Evans. He was a cowboy star. He sang, his wife sang, and they were just neat people. This is a quote from her. Dale Evans, and I'm telling you, this is where a lot of people are. She said, I spent my life looking at the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow and trying to figure out how I could get that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And then she says, when everything I ever needed, I found at the foot of the cross. I'm looking for the gold at the end of the rainbow. Push, push, push. Get, get. More, more, more. Mine, mine, mine. And you will never have enough. And she said, but I found everything I always wanted at the foot of the cross. If you make things your goal in life, if you make possessions your goal, you will never be happy. But when you know that you are loved by God, when you know that His Son gave His life for you, when you know that He's providing for you and taking care of you and sustaining you, that's where you find your joy. And that one day when you leave this earth, He's promised you a better place where He'll provide for you and take care of you for eternity. God, forgive us when we are so selfish and so complaining and so criticizing. And you know what? I've been there. I don't know. Can I be honest a moment here, people? It's okay if I be honest, isn't it? I can be just as selfish as you can. Just as selfish. I drove, got in my pickup the other day. My pickup's a 1999. Air conditioner's out on it. Windows don't work half the time. My seat's getting uncomfortable because the springs in it are breaking down. Looked over here one day and a couple of the guys in the church were over here and had their almost brand new pickup sitting over here. I thought, wow, wouldn't that be nice? It'd start first time. That's nice, isn't it? Air conditioner, blow cold. But I'll be honest, as soon as I thought it, the Holy Spirit checked me and I said, God, forgive me. I'm so thankful for what you've given me. I can't complain about it. But I'm telling you, it'll be a temptation the devil puts before you. It may be a truck. It may not be your truck. It may be your job. Maybe your house. Maybe your clothing. But I'm telling you, if you want God to bless you, you show gratitude. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, wow, I like that gratitude. Let's bless him a little more. Let's bless him a little more. You see, we're all in this together. And it is all about this thing of just allowing God to work in our lives and saying, God, thank you. And you know what? I thank God for each of you. I look forward to Sundays because I get to see you. And I am so grateful that you're part of my family here, and we love you. We love you so much. And looking forward to spending time with you as we eat together today. I will eat very quick because I want to spend time with you. But you know what? We thank God for his bounty. We thank God for his blessings. Would you, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we are very selfish. Sometimes we can be like that toddler who thinks everything is mine. We want to be like that teenager that wants everything their friends have. Forgive us. And forgive us, Father, when we become complainers. When we ignore and are not grateful for your blessings in our life. Forgive us, Lord. May, Father, we look to the cross and say thank you. May we look to your bounty in our life and say thank you. May we, Father, just enjoy your blessings and enjoy each other because we know that you love us. And now, Father, I would pray for every person here that they would see your blessings in their life. That as they gather together today and over the next week with perhaps some family, that they would truly have a thankful spirit, Father. And if there's some conflict, help them to forgive each other, Lord, and be grateful for the people you've put in their life. We thank you, Father. We're just grateful for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.